to the 70th episode of the British Soap Podcast. I am here with my homie, my partner in crime, the Howie to my Kim, Lindsay Amanda. I'm going to need you to have a conversation with your son about secretly snapping pictures of girls' legs and posting them on Instagram. Did you not raise your child better than this?
Dude, I hate that boy. I don't like him. I do not give two royal backsides about him. If he manages to get better, then that's fine and dandy, but I do not like him. I want him gone. Please, thank you, and bye.
I mean, I thought he was cute at first. Like, I thought the look was cute, and he seemed nice initially, but that's only because I did not let him speak. Then after he started speaking, like, just about everything was annoying. Like, I liked the one part where, Kim had set up the little get together for him and Howie, and him and Howie seemed to have a nice conversation. But I mean, if the follow-up to that was him snapping a picture of a little girl and refusing to take it down, for what reason? Like, who on Instagram think that shit is cute? Like, yeah, that ain't 4chan. That's
innocent. Yeah, no.
You know what I'm saying? So, Yeah, I wasn't feeling that. So, if we were tasked with picking EastEnders characters to go into the circle, no, not the cute Netflix game show, the movie where lightning kills you dead until there's only one left standing. let's say give me three characters that you would immediately send up to the aliens circle spaceship.
I would send that little dickhead for one. and his little new friend that is also new. I don't like him either. He's just kind of there to stand behind him and say, that's funny. Nugget, he goes by.
Oh, I was over here. Who's that peanut? Chicken nugget.
And are we talking about currently as in, well, I was going to say Peter, but he's not on anymore.
I mean, that's fine. You could pick Peter if you want to. Yeah, I'm sure going to send. I'll tell you who I'll send. It'll be Ian, Janine. Who will be number three? Who gets on my nerves on that show?
Oh, yeah. Current Janine? Ooh. Yeah. Past Janine? No. No.
Ian, Janine, and Jada. They be gone.
Well, Jada's just there to stand around. She's going to be gone in a hot minute anyway.
Yeah. So we can get her abducted right now. We can cast her as the star and roll a nope. That's just so she can star in a sequel or a prequel.
The prequel.
Jesus Christ. So yeah, annoying.
It's like they're bringing on all these characters now. Just, you know, to have, you know, family connections and stuff. But all the characters are too new. You know, like, with the exception of Mitch. Mitch is, you know, okay, and I absolutely love Finley and Felix. I love them both. I think they're great. Yeah. But let's bring on this new teenage set and see how they go. No.
Yeah. If Howie's son was nice like him, he'd be a better sell. Like, if Howie's son was like basically the black version of, who's Mandy's son on Emmerdale?
No, I was going to call
him
Finn. No.
Vinny? Is he Vinny?
Vinny.
Yeah. If he was a little sweet kid like Vinny, that'd be cool. But, you know, I don't like black folks being brought on the shows just to be little annoying bitches. Like, this is giving me, like, Keegan when he was first on the show and recast Jordan when he came on the show. You know, they like doing this whole annoying black kid thing, and I can't with it. Like, Jada had a little bit of that too, and I'm not feeling it, you know. The only upside is I feel like for the first time, Chelsea has shined. Like, I loved her yelling at him the same way I liked Jason, the actor who played Jason, yelling at that annoying recast Michael, who was annoying all of us. And then he like yelled at him one day. You could tell it was real. Like that's the only upside to his addition. But now he trashed on no one. I don't need him on the show.
Yeah, it's like, who the hell are you? Oh, well, I'll tell you who the hell I am. You know.
Yeah. His little 3-week stint can't be over soon enough, shucks. Not at all. All right, everyone. So if you have any questions about EastEnders or there happens to be something we do not talk about today that you would have liked us to have discussed, head over to britishsoappodcast.tumblr.com to shoot us an ask or hit us up on the Twitterations at UK Soap Podcast. We had a little bit of a delay in recording, so today we are covering episodes that aired from July 1st all the way through August the 11th. And baby girl, we're going to have you start us off with your what the hells. What happened on EastEnders to make you say, what in the heezy?
Well, we pretty much talked about most of it. The 3 seconds that we saw that child's mother makes me realize God. Why this child is the way he is.
Oh, gosh, she was horrible.
I wanted to uppercut her or, you know, hit her in the throat 100%. Because, oh, my gosh, I have all this and I have all this. And where's my gaming stuff going to go? And I'm going to inhabit your TV so I can game and stream so that everybody can watch me stream from this new house for 2 whole weeks, which is going to end up being forever because his mom's probably going on a carnival cruise and never coming home. I'm sure that, you know, if he wasn't raised by somebody who was such a dink, I'm sure if Howie had more intent, because he flat out said he's a bad dad. He didn't want to be a part of it. He didn't, and he left her, or he left her with him, or left him with her. So it was just like...
I don't blame him.
I don't blame him in the least. But when you see this kid come in, just like, when you see Patrick just leading this little child into the house, look at what I found outside. I'm like, oh no. And where's my gaming stuff gonna go? I'm like, oh no. And he's just like inhabiting. I mean, like, he's a child. It's understandable. But at the same time, it's like, it's another person's house. Respect their property, dude. Yeah. I don't like him. I did like that little A-B scene there where they tried doing a thing for, or where Kim tried doing that little football thing so that they could play the football video game together and they could beat Germany and England or whatever it was. But other than that, I have seen no likable qualities in that child whatsoever. One of the things that really got me was one of the things that got Amy to hang out with him more was them trying to, you know, steal burgers off of a DoorDasher on a bike. I'm like, what the heck is this? What? I'm done. I am flat out done with this child, and he hasn't even been on 2 weeks.
Yes. So now you started by saying the mom annoyed you, but then you spent all your time talking about the kid. She was horrible from the beginning, and I didn't understand. And given what happened, I still don't understand. She was there to bring her child to go and stay with Howie. I guess, the way they initially did it, like I thought that like she knew Kim or something because she's just like, "Have you told her? Have you told her?" I'm like, "Wait, has he told Kim what? Like, what secret does this woman have on Kim and what's going on?" Like, I thought it was going to be some kind of like deeper Vincent secret or, Howie was her brother or something. Like, I thought we were getting ready
I
to get
was
some
waiting
kind
for
of,
something like that too. Like he
yeah.
was a long lost relative that just popped up out of
Right.
nowhere.
And I mean, I would have hoped cousins because of the crush that he had on her, like this the cousins, if that's what they were doing, if we were doing Charity and Kane again. But like all that hatred for, I just need you to watch him for a couple of weeks and him to stay at your girlfriend's house. And then she gets to Kim's house and is just acting rude and hateful and for no reason. Like, Patrick and them don't live in no pigsty. Their little house is cute. It's nice. It's fine. But this heifer, so she can go party during the goddamn pandemic, is turning up her nose and acting all, hoity-toity and stuff. Like, Howie is a kid's entertainer. He ought to put up with that child. Like, he could, get rid of his parental rights and have that heifer taking him to Ibiza so she can't get no D. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was
Yeah,
just
because like,
annoying.
yeah, it's like she popped on that first time, and I'm like, who is that? And then it's just like, oh, he has a wife. That was my
Yeah,
initial thing.
I thought so
He was
too.
married already
Yeah.
because he's been, egging off Kim for a while, trying to back off for a while. So I'm sitting here, who is this woman?
Right.
Oh my God, he has a wife already. And they're like, have you told her you're married yet? But it's just like, yeah, the weird part is because they brought this child on the show, they're either gonna bring annoying mom back after her 2 weeks away, or like I said, she's gonna stay there like, Jackie McQueen did when she went on her break and ended up running a bar instead.
Oh, I don't see that happening on this show. This producer seems to be getting rid of everybody I can't stand, for the most part, and turning down stories that I don't like and turning up stories I do. So I don't see these people being on a show long. I mean, they could kill that child off and you have Howie go tell that woman off screen. They don't need to be back on the show, but
Yeah,
it's too
I
annoying.
hope it's not I hope it's not a long thing, 'cause,
Yeah. It's annoying. It's a side story that's annoying. Like, we got some good cute stuff. We got to see Chelsea being a strong sister, and I thought that was good. I liked her yelling at them little brats, and we got to see a nice bonding moment between Denise and Chelsea and recast Amy, and I thought that was cute. That's enough.
I was like, Amy was actually likable for a hot minute.
Yep, that's enough. Like, I don't even need that kid on screen anymore. In a week or two, they could just make a reference that he went back to his mama and he's never on screen again. I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, I would not be against.
Now, the other little kid, he is kind of a brat, but if they get rid of the brother, like hopefully, and they keep him with his murdering brother, I think that could be okay. Like, I can
You
see.
see, I actually liked him
Right.
for what it was worth. I thought the corniness of Nugget made my day.
It's a
Who
balance.
he hangs out with,
Right.
it does not make my
Right.
day.
So we need to get him away from that kid. Maybe him and Bobby could strike up a friendship, or for initial, he can just have a nice relationship with his brother. I mean, I'm not sure what's going on in the romance department, but with Sookie. But if Brother Man and Nugget move in with her, now that her kids have moved out the house, that might be an interesting dynamic to see how Sookie relates to that kid. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what's gonna happen there. But yeah, but the brother man, like, I don't even know that kid's name. Don't I think? Oh yes, I think it's Denzel. But they keep calling him
Yeah,
Denzel or something
Denzel
stupid.
and Nugget.
Yeah, but they keep calling him Denzel or something, like, you know, because it's British. But whatever. Yeah, he gotta go. I can't with him. I can't do it, and I can't with his mama. They both trash. Both absolute trash. Yes.
Yeah.
What the hells did you have for EastEnders?
To say, while still figuring out what happened to Ben, finally happened. Hallelujah, happy day. I was not thrilled with it because while it was well acted throughout this entire thing, we don't actually think it's an actual, you know, rape. So every time I see him saying, "Oh, I was raped, oh, I was raped," I'm like, "You weren't. You weren't even physically assaulted." And I feel bad for saying it because, you know, I know what they're trying to do and I know how they're trying to play it off. And it just doesn't sit right with me that everyone's like, "Oh, he was raped. Oh, he was raped." And we're just sitting there. And yeah, I didn't see it, but yeah. The scenes were well done. I did, but in my head, you know, it's just like I can't unsee what I saw. So it makes no sense for me to like it, if that makes sense.
I mean, it might have been a better play if they had done the rape like it was done with David, where you see Ben going into the room and, you know, kind of laying passed out, and Lewis is mugging at the camera looking evil, and then the last shot is a closed door. And then you just see Ben waking up the next morning, right?
Or like Lachlan and Alicia on Emmerdale almost. You see him do his thing and then it goes to black. With that, you just saw them doing what they had to do.
Well, it's in your
And they,
imagination. But yeah,
yeah.
EastEnders, you know, you and I have already discussed how, to us, like, watching it, it felt like the show gave Lewis hella outs to make it seem like Lewis could plausibly say it was just rough sex and that Ben wanted. And then EastEnders also is doing this weird thing where every 5 minutes when somebody asks Ben if he's assaulted, he's saying, "No, it wasn't like that," blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I understand that the show wants us to accept that Ben was raped. So I accept that it was raped. I mean, I accept that Ben was raped, even though I recognize that the way it was scripted and the way it played on the screen, it didn't seem that way. And I feel like the pacing is off. Like, for this
That's
to be,
it too.
yeah.
They waited far too long
Yes.
to, but I mean, like Phil getting out of jail, you know. That's a thing. But you know, he could have told them at any given time. He could have went in with a visiting order because you know we got him, and said, "Hey, dude." I was assaulted, you know, and then, you know, he could have gotten Robbie while he was in jail, being a boss, sending people outside, taking care of Lewis so we'd never have to see the dude again. So
Right.
now that it has, he has been brought up and Phil is pissed as crap, the child's gonna come back. And we're just gonna roll our eyes and pretend that nothing, yeah, and pretend that, you know,
The way the scene was shot wasn't, didn't give
yeah.
Lewis an out. Yeah. And when I say pacing, like, I feel like had all this happened within a 2 week period, so Ben was raped. Let's say EastEnders wants to him to do the whole machismo, "I wasn't raped" thing. Let him do it for half an episode, half the following episode. But then by the end of that next episode, he's admitting it's rape, and then everything else is him dealing with ramifications. That would have made more sense. But EastEnders did this weird thing where they have him like, "No, it wasn't assault," and then he's accepting Callum saying he cheated, and he's like co-signing it and waiting to tell people, and then weeks have to go by before he tells his mama, and then it really didn't seem that way on screen. There's too much weird. This was scripted poorly. This was shot poorly. The plotting is poor. And because of this poor plotting, now that, like, someone in the EastEnders writing team was like, okay, well, maybe we need to get serious about this whole Bennett's rape thing and stop having him say, no, I wasn't raped every 5 minutes. It's like they waited too long to be serious, right? Like, I understand, like, some people watching may feel like, may have felt totally affected the whole time. For me, I'm just like, that's not what I saw. That's not what I
It's like
heard.
meh.
Yeah, I just, I, and then, we've already had Ben go to jail, right? Because, you can't have a rape storyline with a gay man if he doesn't go to jail for
If
the
you don't
rape
go to jail,
while his rapist is running around free. So we even had that. And it's like, I feel like there's been too many examples of quality male rape storylines, or too many examples of poor Leto male rape storylines for EastEnders to be making this many mistakes with Ben. I mean, hell, Callum still doesn't even know at this point that the boy was raped. Like, what are we
Nope.
doing? What are we doing? Why is this being dragged out? This is ridiculous, So, yeah. I do have, what the hell, I call it the rape victim catch and release, because, Peter got pissed at Ben and his gran because it came out that, because, well, Lewis told Peter that Ben assaulted him, and Ben realized that, Kathy knew, I was getting ready to say Sandy Roscoe, that Kathy knew.
Same difference.
And because, the piece that Peter didn't know, and this is ridiculous as well, Peter wasn't told this. So because Kathy knows that Ben was raped, and that's part of the reason why he was beating up people, in some respects, and she's just trying to protect him and make sure he's okay. She refuses to tell Peter this so he can understand why she is defending him so fiercely given what he did. And I mean, that's stupid. Peter was beaten by Ben, and he had to face, some serious consequences because of that. He is justifiably upset by this, and instead of telling him the whole story so he can understand why you seem to be backing Ben for no reason, you're just saying nothing, and that's ridiculous. I'm like, what are you doing? Just tell him what's going on so he can know, and y'all can move on, So, yeah, I just felt like too many times in this storyline when people could have just told the truth and drove story. Like, imagine Peter discovering Ben was raped and having it help with that. But, he's left town without even knowing. And it's just like, what are we doing? What are we doing? So it's taking too long to get to the goods, And even now that Phil knows, okay, well, they didn't put Ben in the hospital. First he was in a coma. Now he's just in the hospital.
Not now, he's just in Hobie City Hospital.
I mean, and for what? Like, initially, he knows that Kathy has told Phil. Phil tries to, talk to him and, figure out what's going on. He initially tells Phil, it wasn't like that, Dad. I wasn't raped. And then after he's in a, you know, oh, after he overdoses and admits that, the reason he's overdosing is because he's trying to forget what Lewis did to him. Now all of a sudden he's telling his dad, well, I couldn't admit it to you then because you wouldn't have believed me. I mean, Kathy told him. Then Phil asked you. It's illogical to think that if you would have confirmed what your mama already said, he would have been like, nah, you lying. What? It's just, it's bad. It's bad. It needs to stop. We need to progress the story and get it over with because it's just too many missteps. And I can't. I can't. Did you have any additional, what the hell, mom?
My last one is actually, oh, this, I wasn't sure if this made me mad, happy, or a little bit of both. It was when he actually did, or when he went to the party, he got on the party. I saw that party. It looks like a lot of Thai nightclubs, and it's not as hyped as it looks. And he went to the party, he got all high, and this was after he had a literal yelling fight with his, you know, 8-year-old daughter about how he wasn't paying attention to her, how he was there, how she wanted him back, blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, that was some of the best acting from Lexi we've seen in a while, because you'd never see her actually yell in, you know, daddy's face. So that was nice. But he leaves, he goes, gets high. He's like, I'm on my, or he leaves a message for her on her phone saying that he's on his way, but he's, you know, having, you know, heart attack feelings, passes out in the garbage. And who passes him? Sookie does. And because he let everything out in the open earlier, or the night before, about how he called off the, you know, he called off, yeah, or not the night before, it was a few nights before, he called off the detail on Jack, and everyone's like, you sent him there, and Suki's now the outcast of the world. She just walks up to him, stares at him a little bit with a little itty-bitty smile on her face, and walks away as if, you know, leaving Ben to die was the smartest thing to do. While I don't particularly blame her for this, because, you know, the reason her kids walked out was because of what he said, essentially. It was, you know, you don't just leave somebody to die even if you don't like them. That's just not okay.
Disagree. Listen, only one person can come out of the circle, okay?
Sometimes
the kid and the pregnant girl got to get it, okay?
Yeah, it was just like, it's nice seeing Suki at the bottom of the barrel for once. So I kind of like where she's going, but I mean, like, that entire overdose sequence just seemed a little over the top for me a little bit. I don't know. It's just like, it was kind of weird seeing it actually happen full out. Like, when we watched Emmerdale and we saw Layla's overdose, we didn't see her overdose. We just saw her get the stuff on the magazine, getting ready to snort, and then 3 seconds later, Liam walks in and she's passed out on the floor. But this one, we saw this very elaborately done overdose heart attack scene that, you know, they could have just cut. I don't know. It just seemed not too much. I think he tried to over Hobie City it a little. but you know, Ben did a lot of stuff that made me mad in this past month, so it was hard to just pick a few things. It was hard to pick, you know, one thing out of, you know, several that irritated me, because, you know, he has kids, he has, you know, a family, he has all that stuff, and he's just, like you said, trying to forget. Him trying to forget can have consequences on the rest of the family. So that's just my personal opinion, not, you know.
You know, I'm actually going to give it up to Max Bowden for how he's been handling his business these past couple of months. I think the boy's been flawless. I think it's been fantastic. Because, see, the problems I have with how the story is playing out has nothing to do with his acting and everything to do with the way this story was plotted. I feel like if this was plotted on a tighter schedule, I, as a fan, would be more affected by the story. But mm-hmm. I think I may have been podcasting about this show too long to just watch and be like, just willing to go where EastEnders is trying to take me, you know, winding around this whole rape story. I'm like, oh, y'all taking too long, just get to the goods. And now that they've got to the goods, like I'm with them for the most part.
I'm beginning to jump on board now that, you know, the entire Mitchell family officially knows now too. So
and let's call out who spilled a bunch of the beans. Ben, boy, Rocky's party. I love Ben at Rocky's party. Ben's drunk behind, calling everybody and their mama all out on their stuff. Because remember, yep. Ben secretly found out that Peter and Bobby's ex was hooking up. He blasts that at the party. He blasts Rocky being a fraud who is probably just with his grand for money. He blasted that at the party. And then it also comes out that Ben is the one that, mess with Peter at the party. And Ben didn't really care, right? It was just fantastic. And I loved him, like, calling everybody out on all their stuff, which ended up being a catalyst for Peter to leave. Why? Because Peter was irritated. And so what's homeboy do? He calls the cops on Ben, which sends everybody into a tailspin. And not only that, after he takes his anger, because, you know, of course, Kathy goes and gives him an alibi so Ben can get released, which I'm not mad with her. She knew her son had been raped. I did not need him to be in jail for no long time, so I'm glad she did what she needed to do. But then what else did that cause? Peter to steal all her money. I was like, slick. So I even like Peter on the way out, because since Peter didn't know about Ben's rape, his actions made sense.
Yes.
He just thought that they were treating him horribly just to do it, because he's the runt of the litter. But no, there was more going on to it. So I love Ben starting all that by drinking excessively, going to that party he didn't want to go to, and just telling everybody about who they were. And that, you know, led to all the good drama that came after that. So I thought that was absolutely fantastic. I loved it. I loved it. And I think Ben's been playing everything great. Like, even the very over-the-top, overdose scene that you're talking about, I didn't mind it. I actually thought it was good. And I loved how it came a day after another fantastic EastEnders episode where Ben was all out of his head again, this time on, I think, G or whatever. He was taken from that hot man he was dating for 2 seconds to get drugs, his little hot high school friend. But, you know, he's, you know, tripping out of his mind. Kirat, his new best friend, is supporting him because he thinks Ben is struggling because he thinks he may be dealing with a HIV diagnosis, when the reality is he's struggling because he's dealing with his rape. So Kirat brings Ben to his house and everybody's being nice to him and warm and supportive, and he is high as hell. And so what does his high as hell self do? Finally lets out that he called off Jack's protection, which led to his murder. I was like, what are you doing? But the drama was so good, because Sookie got to react, everybody was hating on Ben, and then it also came out, well, Sookie was the one that got him in jail in the first place, so sure, Ben's actions contributed, but so did Sookie.
She was the one who put him there in the first place.
And so did Sookie. And so then that's a fracture in that family that led to all her children leaving the house, basically disowning her. And so then what do you get at the end of one of the episodes? Ben overdosing, coming from that stupid party that was lame as hell, high as balls, and falling into the trash can like Harry Thompson and Steve. Ben is in the trash, and she sees him in the trash looking toe up from the floor up. And then what does that queen do? Just like Jack Abbott did with Victor Newman in his office having a heart attack, looked him up and down and stepped away. I thought it was great. I thought it was fantastic. I mean, she just found out he was responsible for her child's death. She just felt like because of his actions, she lost her whole family. Of course she wasn't going to save him. She ain't there. And I wasn't mad at it. I thought it was fantastic. You know, so I think Max Bowden has been playing the hell out of this role. He has done a flawless job. The plotting is not on him, but you know, the material that they're giving him, he is handling business with. So, and I love it. So, if it's being honest with his mom and being vulnerable about how he feels about the attack, if it's being tough with his dad and real with his dad about how you never really supported me this whole time, so of course I'm not going to think to talk to you about this, and of course I don't think you're going to believe me because every 5 minutes you're talking about, you know, how weak of a man I am, right? Like, Max has been handling business. So I'm annoyed with the plotting, but the acting, I think, is fantastic. And, you know, I want the confrontation to be over and done with. Like, I want Lewis back for like a day or two, him to get beat up, put in jail, and it to be done. Because there's more that Max could be doing with his time than this kind of foolishness. So if we're going to get Callum and him back together, great. If he's moving on to another love interest, great. If he's going to run a business, great. But, yeah, I'm ready for this story to be over. Because I feel like the longer we stay on this rape storyline, the more time EastEnders may have to mess up the plotting. Although, this all started before Chris is the new producer, started. And he is doing a good job with his plotting. Like, a few minutes before we started recording, I just watched how he wrapped up all that messy stuff with Gene and Stacy, and I love the way he wrapped that up. So if Chris is going to go, if Chris takes this and gives us a quality wrap up, cool. But it needs to be quick, and I need to be over and done with, because this story has dragged on for too long, in my opinion.
Yep.
You know? Yes. All right, well, I guess we will switch to my what the hells. Let me give the new producer of EastEnders love for something else he did not drag out, and I'm grateful for him. He killed off Mitch's annoying brother. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I praise dancing
for
that.
He was literally brought on to die.
Worst for me, he needed to because he was annoying. It was good. Like, he was irritating to me. Like, Avery was not there for Mitch when his daughter got murdered. And he is in Mitch's face chastising him, telling him he hasn't been a good brother to him because he didn't psychically know the dude had cancer and was about to die. I mean, mofo, if you didn't open your mouth to tell your brother, how the hell was he supposed to know? How he supposed to know he's supposed to support you, or even you want his support when you haven't even told him? I mean, hell, I think he was the older brother, right? Even if he wasn't the older brother, like, you can open up your mouth to call somebody when his daughter got murdered? Really? You can do that? That girl was gone a year. He can pick up the phone one time and then got the nerve to be mad at Chantal. So I was over his behind for that. So I was glad he got a quick death, because I was done with him. Like, I saw nothing redeeming in him. He was just annoying, you know, and I felt like Karen turned back into the same stupid Karen that she was when it was that damn serial killer. Like, everybody in town is telling Karen how hateful this person is. And she's just like, no, he's nice. Like, I felt like she was doing that a lot with Avery. Like, Mitch, he's your only brother. Like, you have to make nice to him. No, he doesn't. He could be as mad as he wants.
It's like, he had all the right in the world to be mad at that man.
Exactly. So I was over it. So I appreciate Chris and crew getting rid of that Avery dude, because I could not with him at all.
I think he actually brought him on, too. I think they literally brought him on so that they could, so that they could introduce the sons into the show. Thumbs up for them, by the way. But yeah, no, I didn't like him either.
Yeah, I do like the sons, and this is Chris Clinshaw, who is handling business on EastEnders, and I like the way that some of his stories have been going. So I'll give the son some love. I think Felix is great. I love how he's not doing the gender-conforming thing. He is gay, he is proud, he is feminine, and I love how everybody in the family is pretty much cool with it. I think it's fantastic. I need more Felix and Kim. That little partnership is cute as hell. I love it. It's great. It's fantastic. I need more of it in my life. And then the other brother, what is his name, the other brother?
Felix,
the straight
and
one?
Finley.
Finley. Finley and Whitney are fire. I need more of it in my life. It's great. It's fantastic. He's cute. She's cute. You finally got a man who looks like he can be all about Whitney. I'm interested in seeing how he comforts her when he finds out the real about what she's been through in her life. But the vibe between them is excellent. The only thing that's a little odd with them, which I really can't fault the kids for, is like, Those kids really don't seem that broken up over Avery's death. Like, as the guy watching the show who did not like Avery, I get it. But, like, watching the show and
Yeah, like
watching,
that
like.
first episode afterwards, yeah, they felt bad, but then as soon as that first episode, no, I agree. It was like, oh, everything's fine. You wanna, let's hang out. Let's do the. I'm like,
I mean, they're spending time, finding out Avery is broke, but they're spending time, well, Felix is spending time having conversations about having the cast of The Lion King do a love circle around a casket, releasing doves and singing, I
Central
don't
Florida.
know. I'm just like, what? What are y'all doing? Like, it didn't feel sincere. Like, it felt like they were not really broken up. So, but again, I'm not broken up, so it's kind of funny that they're not broken up. But I was just kind of like, damn, these
Yeah.
boys really are not studying this man being dead. So yeah. Anyway, that was that. And one more thing I'll say, because I have this in a what the hell too. So the day that Avery died, he got his brother Mitch to promise to take care of his sons, because he's like, look, they need more help than it may seem. I'm not here for them. I need you to promise to take care of them. And he was like, I promise you, brother. I promise. And then what happens the next day? The boys need to plan a funeral. And Mitch is like, good luck with that. Deuces. I was like, bro. Now this is one part where I gave it up to oh my goodness, Karen, for being like, Mitch, boy. These boys have come to you the morning after their father has died. They're looking pitiful. They ain't got no food to eat. There's a funeral to plan. And you just told them, good luck with that, and then turned and ran into the house like Forrest Gump instead of seeing about them children. You need to see about them children. You know what I'm saying? I was like, dude, your brother just died yesterday. You just told this mofo yesterday you were going to take care of his boys. They're like, yeah, it would be nice to like talk to somebody about funeral plans. And he was like, well, that's about it. Be holler. I was like, Mitch, come on, Mitch. What's you? No. So eventually he did get involved because he found out dude was broke and he had to let the kids know. But I was just kind of like, bruh, come on, homie. Help them
Yeah.
boys on out. Yeah, what'd you think?
Like I said, I like Finley and Felix. I like them from the minute they walked on the screen in the hospital room. Felix all jazzed out in his drag queen outfit, and everybody being all happy and joyous because, oh my God, he's a drag queen. She's a drag queen. And there's that happy-ish sad moment there, and then it's just like you like I said, I didn't like him either. I told you the minute I first saw him, I thought he was a hella douchebag. And I did not particularly care for what he got Mitch into in his last days of life.
Yes.
Stealing stuff and stuff.
Yeah, that was stupid.
But just trying to do all these little things to try to get Mitch involved in his life for the last like 10 days of it or whatever it was, 10, 15 days of it. And it's hard to, or it's not hard to not like a character when you first see him on screen, because I've told you I've hated characters the second they've walked on screen several times, but I've grown to like them. But when they literally bring someone on to die and to bring on two new characters, you don't have to like them. There's no point. So it's just like, okay, you go ahead and do what you do, leave your kids broke, make Mitch feel, insecure and, not cool with your general presence, just in time for his son to tell, oh, he has cancer. Didn't you know? Would have known. You guys could have called him and told him.
Right.
It's like, yeah, he wasn't talking to his brother, but that didn't mean you two picked up the phone and said, hey, dude, Uncle Mitch, Dad's dying. Come see him. Not that he probably would have because of the whole Chantel thing, but, you know, he probably still would have out of obligation to, you know, him being his brother and stuff. It would have been, you know, nice to be told, you know, months in advance rather than a week before he died. So I, like I said, didn't like him, like the kids. Like the dynamic they have with people first thing. They're, you know, getting in with the crew of EastEnders well, unlike the teenagers. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. Okay. For my final what the hell, it was just because it surprised me the way that it happened. Ben was trying to kick Rocky out the house and got annoyed because Rocky was telling Ben the truth about himself. And Ben drew his fist back and punched Kathy by accident. I was like, whoa. I'm like, Ben, bro, I was in your corner, man. How you gonna bust your mama in the lip, brother? Like, what? Just for the shock value. It was what the hell. Like, it was a good story beat, you know, because a lot of people were like, you know, Jafe realized what happened. I think Phil eventually was told that it happened. I can't remember. But all of that helped, like, people realize just how messed up Ben was. And I thought that that was interesting. Like, even Ben realized how jacked up it was, what he did was. So anyway, that just kind of came out of nowhere. And I was like, what? So, yeah, there's that. All right, Mama, let's switch into scenes of the weeks. What did EastEnders do that you liked?
Chris told the writers to do one thing that we've wanted for so many months now. That it made us both extremely happy. Jay and Honey are no longer together.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. So beautiful.
I mean, Jay's shot. It's like Honey's doing something that she wants to do. She has to be up at Flip All early to do it. She basically has no time for Jay because Jay's always at work. She's always at work. They go home. They're both exhausted. They go to bed. You know, and the one time, you know, Jay wants to go out and hang out with, you know, people his age, he asks Honey to go along with her or go along with him. And she gets ready to go. And then while he's in the shower, she passes out. And he's like, oh, I'll just go by myself. You rest. Don't fall asleep on the couch or whatever. Next day, you know, the whole rigmarole about him and Lola getting back together and him cheating on Honey because her little dipshit of a son saw him together one day.
Well, no, remember. Yeah, because, you know, he pretended to be Lola's boyfriend at the club because some little dude was pushing up on Lola and Lola.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And so the next day they were talking about it, and that was the little daughter saw. That was Ben's daughter saw, right?
Yeah, Lexi saw it, and then she told
Billy's son.
Billy's son told, yeah, Honey, everything went to, or no.
He told
deal.
He told Billy. It was good. He told Billy, and then Billy took his behind to the pub and went and popped Jay upside the mouth.
and then they went back to the house, and Honey's sitting there on the couch, and Jay walks in, and the first thing she says is she looks up at him and says, hey, dude, we need to break up. Because we don't see eye to eye right now. I have what I like. You have what you like. The age difference is too much. We both want different things. You know, and I was just like, thank you. Because you guys weren't cute to start with. there was no cuteness factor to it at all. It was just like, it seemed like they were just thrown together as a matter of convenience at the time. So when, you know, I saw that they broke it up.
Yeah, those two were thrown together because they knew that that was going to create tension between Jay and Billy. That's all that was done for. That was a silly movie.
That was essentially what it is. And Jay
it's
and
just
Billy
like Marlon. It's just like Marlon and Patty having to break up being friends for years because Patty all of a sudden decides to steal Marlon's girl. Like, that's totally out of character. And it was totally out of character for Jay and Honey to decide to get it on when there was no connection, no heat, no nothing. Now, I don't want Honey with Billy either, because I've said many times on this show, there was a scene that they put in there where she was acting like she was way too good for Billy. And ever since I heard the heifer say that, I've been like, okay, well then go on and get with your next abusive man then, heifer, and leave my Billy alone to get back with Karen, who he needs to be with, because that's the only woman he has been good with in my time watching this show. But, But Billy and, Jay and Honey needed to split. It was trash. Now, I think it was stupid. I think the reason that she's putting with him is stupid, just like them getting together in the first place was stupid, but I don't care. It's over. The only downside that I have is that it's happening too late into the fact that Lola is leaving. Like, now Jay is free, and Lola's gonna leave again? Like, this is a waste of time. We could have gotten Jay and Lola all this time. That's what I wanted for years. They finally put my couple back together, and then they're gonna have them split up for Honey? Hell out of here. Nah, I'm over it. But yeah, I'm glad they done. Good riddance, and they never need to get together no damn.
I was very excited when I saw that. It's just like, did that really happen? You know, I had that moment of, dude, that really happened. Finally, I'm excited.
Yeah, I can't believe they wasted our time with that stupid ass couple. Ridiculous.
Well, new producers equals new stuff.
Works for me.
Works for me too.
Shucks. Did you have any other scenes of the week, Tyler?
Yes. My favorite one was, I loved Ravi the minute he popped on screen.
100%.
Seeing Phil in the jail cell, helping him out with stuff, Phil helping him helping Phil, blah, blah, blah. I loved that man.
Yep.
So, when he popped on and you realize that he was the son of the douchebag.
Yeah, conservative dude.
Mm-hmm. Conservative racist douchebag that is building a property in Dubai and is also a massive enemy of Kira. Let's keep this in mind during this entire concept here. Suki goes and like, okay, so I'm going to dress up all nice, and I'm going to make dinner, and I'm going to, you know, thank you for this, you know, deal that you gave me and not Kirat, because, you know, Kirat moved out of the house because I was stupid. And,
he got that deal
I know what it was. I know what it was. I was just, you know, thinking outside of the box there. But she gets all dressed up, she makes dinner, she does all this stuff, and the first thing this man does when he walks into the house is he says hello and basically tries to rip her clothes off. And she's like, yeah, no, that ain't happening. So she fights him off, and she thinks she kills him. So she freaks out, she's crying, she's freaking out, leaving this guy who is still obviously breathing on the floor. But because she is terrified that she killed him, Ravi walks in, sees him, what the heck happened here, you know? And he didn't look down either. He just assumed at the beginning he was gone too. And I was just like, you cannot literally see that this man is breathing. I can see it from here, but what really got me was Suki goes off somewhere or go, I forgot where she went, but she actually left. And, you know, he was like, okay, you go take care of something. I'll take care of the body. So I want to know how he managed to fit that body into that little itty-bitty double bag, for one. but he wasn't dead yet. He attacked him, or dad I mean, girl, did attack him.
You've seen Dexter.
Oh, Lord. That would have been too much for him. Chopping up all them body parts and put them in garbage bags. But yeah, it's just like he attacked him. So while he's getting attacked, he knocks him out, killing him dead. And that's how he was killed. And then they get closer together and everything. So my thing is I'm kind of curious what Kirat thinks of this, because he and Revy are not they dislike each other a whole lot. So if they're going to try this whole relationship thing between Ravi and Suki, I am all for it. Because they have a chemistry, man. Even for, you know, what it is. Even if I do kind of like Stacy's wife and her together quite a bit in their, you know, weird, unconventional way, I kind of see, you know, that little flick of fire there between her and Ravi, and I kind of want to see where it goes.
Yeah. Her and Ravi do have some heat. I fear him being a murderer and starting off their relationship that way is going to be a problem. And I think, you know, even Suki definitely have a hell of a lot of chemistry, and she's a lot more mature. And I think it will be interesting to see that tough chick embrace her sexuality. So I think Eve and her and Eve and Suki have more of a long-term shot than Ravi and Suki. And I don't even think Suki sees Ravi like that. I think Ravi
is into her that way, which is why he buys her the restaurant.
You got two things. One, you killed a dude and you ain't told her the truth about it. Two, the man she thinks is your daddy raped her. So she can't be with you. Like, that relationship is dead. I'm here for them being cool. They could be Felix and Kim. They could be cool. He could have his little crush. He can keep it shut. He could be like the Mike to her Sheila Carter. You know what I'm saying? He could be the Ivan to her Stefano D'Amira. You know what I'm saying? They need that kind of relationship, you know? But you're right. This brother who plays Robbie, flawless. He is excellent. I read that they brought him on to be a fill-in. He's fantastic. They need to keep him on the show forever. He is great. He has some heat for Suki. There's like 50 people on that show he would have chemistry with. I love the beef between him and Kirat, and I want more of that backstory because that rivalry is interesting, and especially now that, you know, Ben and Kirat are no longer fighting. Well, they're back fighting again, but, you know.
I'm like, they're fighting again.
Ben and Kirat are no longer the arch nemesis. Now we've got this new guy who has a history with Kirat, who was in prison trying to kill Kirat. I want that story, because I think that's going to be fun.
I want to know why.
Yes. I think that's going to be fun. But yeah, this dude, Ravi, sexy as hell, flawless, up here killing dudes who's on some BS. And let's talk about his father. So the dude, the character name is Ron Veer. I'm going to call him RV, because he on my nerves. RV is such an... He was so annoying from the jump. Like, there was some little scene he was in, and he was acting all conservative. I think, like, Eve was talking about something, and then here he comes, like, being all Mr. Conservative, hating on gay people. And Eve's like, boy, check yourself before you wreck yourself. And I was just like, yes. And so, this whole thing where he turned, like, straight-up evil villain, you know, it was kind of like him turning on a dime because Suki was smart as all get out. Sister girl invites this fool to her house. So she know he a creep. She tries to get out of the whole situation with him by butting up with Sharon, who was just this close to giving her the money she needed to buy the restaurant. But then Ben, who is awake from the coma, lets out to his daddy. He saw Jack Abbott standing over him, and Jack Abbott just let his ass die. So for y'all to know, though, Jack Abbott is Sookie. There was a scene on The Young and the Restless, I think in the 90s, where Victor Newman and Jack Abbott are the arch nemesis. There was this scene where Victor Newman had had a heart attack in his office, and Jack was there and saw him. And Jack could have called the paramedics to save his behind or left him there to die. And what did Jack do initially? He walked his behind.
I think he did end up calling in the end.
He did. Yes, he did. But it was fabulous. It was like one of those Friday cliffhangers where Victor Newman is on the floor cutting his chest. And Jack looks at him and just steps right over his body and walks right out the door. Fabulous, yep. Right? That's what Sookie did. And so I was like, yes! If I could give Jack Abbott a pass, I could give Sookie a pass. I mean, Ben, if Ben hadn't called off that attack, Jags would still be alive. Yes, Sookie wrong for putting him in jail. I'm mad at her for that. Ben could have kept him alive. So I wasn't mad at it. But anyway, so Ben tells his daddy he saw Sookie staring at him, and he's grateful because he thinks Sookie saved his life. And feel like that have saved none of your life. That was J&M that saved your life. And she's like, oh, so she just left me there to die? And then that sends Phil off. And then Phil's in the pub. And right when Sookie's about to get that money from Sharon, Phil is hollering and screaming about, how could you leave my son to die? And Sookie's like, you mean the way he left my son to die? Mm-hmm. Right? So that messes up her money. So then Sister Girl still needs to get the money so that her businesses can be afloat. And who she got left that could do it? RV. So she's slick with it. Mm-hmm. She invites RV over to the house. She has made this nice little dinner. He is sitting across from her like, I like strong men who tell me what they want. So tell me what you want. Oh, you want these cookies. Okay, but the reason you want these cookies is because you're going to give me this business deal after you get these cookies, right? So just to be clear, the business deal is contingent upon you eating my cookies, correct? Great. I just need you to sign a document to that effect. Oh, yeah, boy, I'm going to give you these cookies right after you sign this document. For real, for real. Yes, baby. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Take that pen. Mm-hmm. There you go. Good job, baby. You know I've been recording the whole goddamn thing. I say yes. Now, the way the scene was playing out, I actually thought that she had just, like, she was recording it, like, with a, you know, tape recorder. But yeah. Then EastEnders did the wide pan, and you saw the video camera. I said,
You saw the CCTV in the corner.
I thought it was flawless. I thought she was great for doing that because she took her power back, right? She felt really defeated when all her kids went away, and I understood why she felt that way. And it was just cool to see her, you know, get... But, you know, her family was with her and she was by herself. Like, I get it. You know, that, and she wasn't expecting any of that. So I got her frustration and her sadness over that. But it was excellent just to see her manipulate that little evil, hateful man and get a little bit of her shine back. And then, so she had the total upper hand. He was out the door. She was done. She was ready to take her little videotape, get her little money going about her business. But then he decided he going to be a Scooby-Doo villain. Oh, ha, 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 ha. You thought I was leaving? No, even though I'm 6 feet shorter than you, I'm going to beat your ass. I'm going to slap you. I'm going to fight you. I'm like, dude, first of all, like, if this woman was...
arms three times the size of you.
I'm saying, she is ripped. She ready to go. That's a tough chick. Like, she got her shit together. She goes to the gym. She gets her exercise on. If she don't, her natural stuff is on point, right? There is no way on this planet that man would have bested this woman. No way. That was in the script foolishness. He up here acting like he Arnold Schwarzenegger slapping a woman, throwing her around like she ain't nothing. I'm like, get out of here. That would never happen. But that's all right, because Sookie did what she had to do. She got them nuts. He fell down, and she oopsed upside his head, and he was passed out. Fabulous. I loved her getting her own again then. Now, she thought she had done killed at him. And then here comes Ravi, you know, to clean up the whole mess, which I thought was flawless. Because you could see in that moment how much he was about Sookie and how much he was about to make sure, about making sure she was good and getting over, you know, just he was over his dumb dad. And then
Except
the
in the
Scooby-Doo
fact that he
villain,
saved the video at the end. But
he had one more time that he could have, like, been cool. This Scooby-Doo villain, he doesn't just get up, right? He doesn't just wake up groggy because Sookie is in his head. He immediately goes from, "I was almost killed by the woman I tried to rape," to immediately talking noise to his son, who he must know does not like him. And he was just like talking all this ish. And Rob was just like, "Not today, Satan." Boop, dead. Like,
Yep, you ain't nobody's son. You ain't nobody's son, poop.
it was great. Like, I'm here for it. Like, again, he was annoying. RV was annoying. All that mess he was doing at dinner was annoying. Him trying to get in Cookie's, in Sookie's, I'm saying cookie now. Him trying to get in Sookie's, him trying to get at Sookie's cookies was annoying. He needed to die. And I do not want anybody to go down for this because he was annoying. And Ravi and Sookie both did the world a favor. And it was flawless. It was great. It was great.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious what he's going to do with the tape, though, since he's been, saving the videos.
Yeah, I hope it, like, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe somebody else will find it. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not going to speculate because I don't want to put any bad thoughts into the universe. I want Sookie and him to be friends. I want him to get over his little crush. Maybe he can keep his crush, but maybe, once he finds out that Sookie likes Eve, maybe he can encourage her and be cool and just have her back and just let that be it. Because if he does any shady stuff, I'm gonna be afraid he's gonna leave the show too soon, and I don't want him to leave because I think he's great. You know what I'm
Oh,
saying?
I love Ravi. They need to keep him on
Yes.
long term.
Agreed, agreed, agreed.
I didn't, or it was like I didn't realize it was him at first until he took the helmet off when he got off the bike. I'm like, holy, how did he get out of jail so fast?
I love it.
I was like, yeah.
Do you have any other scenes of the week, Tom?
I have to admit, while it was the day that Daddy Garrett died there, Avery tossed away, I kind of liked that little shindig-a-double party that they held for him.
Yeah, that was nice.
You see, but my part leading up to that was Finley and Felix were supposed to go and do quote unquote the weekly shop, and and they gave Kim the money accidentally in the
Oh, yes, they did, didn't they?
because Finley just popped the money in there, thinking, hey, he's gonna get the bag back, and Kim threw it away. So they spent the entirety of a day searching around garbage trucks, garbage bins, all kinds of stuff, looking for this bag. And then you have Karen with this look of pure, girl, like a proper Karen face. Sorry, Karen. I heard from Kim a little while ago that you've been chasing down a bag full of money, which means you did not do my weekly shop. Today, I'm feeling generous. Oh, you might not feel so lucky. That was quite possibly my favorite Karen moment of all the Karen moments because it was proper Karen, not, oh, you gotta take care of your brother. Oh, you gotta do this. Oh, you gotta do this. And it's just like, yeah, tomorrow you guys are gonna be paying back that in any way you can possibly think of. Like perhaps finding a job or something. But yeah, it was just like that party was cute. They had their little Jamaican party and then they were talking and then he died in his arms. And I was like, oh, that is sad, but not really because I didn't like him. Because, I mean, it is. It's sad when you're having this big old party for somebody who's, they got their favorite restaurant. They, did all that stuff for him. And then he just dies in Mitch's arms like that. It was sad. But, you know, at the same time, like I said, I didn't like him, so I didn't care. But yeah, that was a cute little scene that they, you know, threw in there that I enjoyed a little bit.
Well, I'm going to wrap up with my scenes of the week. Quick one. Thank you, Chris, for releasing Phil from jail. I need it in my life. Thank you. Because see all that foolishness with these dudes getting ready to kill Phil on this day and that annoying cop acting like, you know, she was going to let him die and she's going to decide what he going to say to who about what. All that was annoying. So I was glad he was released, and I like how Phil's playing it. He told that heifer he going to be a narc. He ain't about to be nobody at NARC. He just playing this heifer for as long as he could play that lady. I am at it.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Fabulous. Absolutely great. I thought it was great. Also, I love how Chris and company are writing Sam. It's like everything that I wanted to see in Sam, my dude has given me. Sam is out here. She has hooked up with Jonah. Decided to deal drugs in the club. Now, I got some moral issues with regards to that, right? But what's the setting up for her? It's setting it up to where she can be the one who is in control. She can be the boss. She can be making the money. And I think that that's awesome. And I think she needs that. And she's tough with it. And so
it kind of blew up in her face.
But every time she was confronted, see, she does the thing that I want villains to do. She lies, and she's cool with it. No, Ben, I'm not dealing drugs out of the club. Why would I do drugs out of the club? It's got my mother's name on it. This is my brother's. Like, obviously, I would never do anything like that. No, Phil, I don't know where Ben got the impression that I was dealing drugs out of the club. I would never allow that. Are you kidding me? What? Me? Like, you trusted me to come here and make a name for Peggy's, and I'm going to honor my mother's legacy, and I'm going to do that. And Phil's like, okay, well, you can be the manager. And you know what? Maybe we'll get your name over the door. She's like, oh, you're so sweet. Then he walked out the door. She's like, whew, he didn't catch me. Thank you, Jesus. Like, flawless. Sam is giving me more Janine than Janine is giving me Janine. And it's great. And my only sad part is how quickly that it broke down. Because she also, like, while she's playing Ben and Phil, and I guess I got to be mad at Ben, because if Ben behind wasn't being a druggie, you know, Sam wouldn't have got caught so doggone quick, right? So I don't like that she got caught quick, and I don't like the Phil confronted her.
Oh,
don't trust
was
her.
Feeling too. So.
But what I do like was Zach, who is hooked up with Sam. I like their relationship, and I like how Sam pretty much told Zach what was going on. You know, and Zach had her back for a minute, but he just had to go running his mouth to Sharon a little bit too much, and then Sharon went and told Phil, and then it was an option, right? But Sam is being written as a boss, as vulnerable, as manipulative, and as strong. And I felt like under Kate Oates, there was too much of the whole Sharon and Cat coming in to undermine Sam, and I didn't like that. I like Sam standing on her own two feet, making decisions on her own, sticking to them even though they are shady, and, you know, kind of still remaining tough in the face of being confronted. Because what's she doing right now? She's trying to get Zach to find Lewis so she could basically, end Lewis to make things up to Phil and Ben. And what a beautiful way to use her. Flawless. So I need more strength for Sam.
Especially since she's mad at him for taking her job.
And listen, let's keep it real. If Ben could be forgiven for getting his sister kidnapped, if Phil could be forgiven for doing crack all up and down Albert Square, Sam could be forgiven for having a couple of little drug dealers get this one and that one, a little Hyde Club.
I'm like, as far as I can tell, she's the least of everyone.
Come on now. No, I'm loving it, so.
Yeah, I like her too. I like that she's like the black sheep of the family, but she's also like, as of right now, the most ruthless one of the family, if you want to really, really get into it, because, you know. Phil's not really doing much as of right now because he's trying to take care of the rapist. And then you got, you know, her trying to keep the businesses afloat, but can't because Bill doesn't want to do anymore because of the drug thing. And yeah, it's just like, she is a wonderful character. I didn't like her at first. I liked it when the old actress played her, but the recast, thumbs up 100%.
Same. And, you know, I think it's Daniela Westerbrook, if I'm saying that name correctly. I thought she was great in the role. I knew that this lady had played Sam before, but because I'm used to Daniela, I didn't know what I was going to feel about her in the role. From scene one, I've loved her. And I think she's fantastic, and it's great that they brought her back because she's just flawless in this. And I'm going to wrap up my scenes of the week because she's involved in this last little bit. So EastEnders has been doing really good with the use of history and the scripting. So how Sam comes in is when Ben was in the hospital, Sam and Phil had this excellent conversation where Phil was talking to Sam about how he felt when Paul got killed. When he heard that there was a gay man killed, he told his sister he thought it was Ben. And it's been in his mind that that can be a reality for him. And I think he said something like feeling a slight bit of relief that it was Paul and then feeling guilty about it, you know.
Yeah.
But he loves Ben that much. And I thought, oh, God, that's not something I heard before. And I thought that was flawless. And then there was a scene with, I think it was Sam and Zach, where Zach was talking about feeling like he was the neglected son, and Sam was talking about, like, you know, feeling like she was the overlooked sister. And I thought that that was really flawless as well. And I have something written down, too, about the Panasar and Beale history. I can't remember what I was referring to there, but I know there were some good scenes with the Panasars as well. But I feel like with this new production team handling EastEnders, like, the stories are tighter. You know, they're getting deeper. Like even what I saw today, you know, Stacy takes Martin and Key Rat hilariously to the RV park to go have some fun with the girls. And then they're just out getting something to eat. And who is their waitress but Jean? She goes out of nowhere.
And Jean then just what do we get? Yep.
What do we get between Jean and Stacy after Jean stops running away from her child? We get Jean reflecting on how ridiculous she has been over the past year and how hateful she has been to Stacy for no reason. And she gives a genuine apology. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, you were there for me. You were trying to be there for me. I'm so sorry. Like, girl, I was running around in the wedding dress. Girl, I was in the water thinking I saw my dead ex, and I was about to ask you just a second ago, did you see him too? That's how far gone I was. I was so gone, I didn't realize how bad I was being to Harvey. Like, I have so much to account for. And those scenes just played out beautifully. And there's Stacy being loving and supportive, and there's her mom owning her stuff and apologizing to her child. Flawless. So
gotta say, Mo's re-entrance for that hot minute was good too.
It was great, you know. Yeah, and you got her up there doing yoga, trying to get over Black Elvis. You know what I'm saying? You know, talking about the throuple and trying to get another dude from the RV park into the throuple with Stacy. Although it's gonna be a 4G at that point, I guess.
He just wants so we can join your throuple.
Flawless. So I love that.
Yes, I agree. This production team has been, you know, cutting short a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. They have been making, you know, some stuff a little longer than it needs to be, but they're trying to cut it down the best they can.
I feel like the Ben storyline is the weakest link right now.
Yeah.
I think if we can get a good resolution to that pretty quickly, I will be less annoyed by that. But I'm very happy with what I've seen from this this group in the first few weeks, and I'm here for it to stay because I just think it's been great.
It was hard for me to find, you know, some real what the hells that were really, you know, needed to be there to the point where I had to use more recent stuff because that was, you know, where it mostly sat.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, been really, really good so far, and I like where this Chris dude is bringing it. They even brought on, you know, the sets from Hobie City for the hospital. So, you know, you got Hobie City sets and, you know, little bits of ins and outs there. But, you know, it's nice to see that, you know, they're working to make the show better and, you know, not as boring. I don't want to say boring, but it's been kind of a little bit boring with, you know, what's been going on. There's been all kinds of dark and sadness, and then now they know he's on, and there's still quite a bit of dark and sadness, but there is some funny bits too. So it's nice to see that, you know, they're trying to make it better, or trying to get the worst storylines out of the way to make better worst storylines for us to deal with that are better.
All right, baby girl. Well, with that, I guess I will say that I'm at Brother Sip.
And I'm at Lindsay Amanda.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Until next time, okay, protect yourself from BA4, BA5, BA2.75, BA4.6, monkeypox, polio, and whatever in the world else comes. Put on the mask. Get your vaccinations. Don't be going to the club, touching this one and that one if you don't know them. Get to your little bubble. Stick to your little bubble. Because we need to survive this viral apocalypse up in these streets.
Blue packs, y'all.
Jesus Christ. Y'all be safe and take care now. Bye, y'all.
Bye.